much really quick. I think that was really a nice talk and really to the point of this colloquium. I'll give just 5 minutes for questions, not very long, because we have a small coffee break just outside waiting for us. So questions? Any question? Yeah, sure.
I think I haven't completely articulated it yet, but I would be quite curious to hear. I think you were sort of presenting your approach as something as a counterpoint to other approaches as well that don't put this emphasis on the sense of presence. And I'd be curious to hear whether you think of these as how strongly opposed to each other they are, or whether this is a sort of continuum, to what extent you feel that these different approaches have things to learn about each other as well. Could you say a little bit more about whether this is a sort of clash of approaches?
No, I don't think at all this is a clash. I just, I guess from a disciplinary point of view, which I guess is what your answer is hinting at, I'm just trying to offer, kind of as a critic and a practitioner, other possibilities of thinking through field recording. Because of course I see value in the work of Chris Watson or in the work of Francisco Lopez, but I'm trying to play a part, I do my small contribution to open up other possibilities regarding the canon of field recording, because I do see it as a genre in a particularly a disciplinary way, and there should be other types of possibilities to thinking through field recording, even without audio recording itself, maybe thinking through writing, thinking through photography, thinking about other ways basically to sonically document a place, to talk about their experience of the sound in a place, and to try to think through that through a particular kind of methodology, you know, in order to bring this idea of a sonic culture in relationship to a series of elements, being politics, ethics, race, gender. So this is, for me, the power of field recording, of pointing a microphone. There's a responsibility there, but there's also a whole world of options and possibilities. That makes sense?
There's something that struck me in the piece you showed last, and I guess I have a comment to make, which maybe just tangential to your talk, but it kind of struck me that while you were doing, while the piece is about field recording, the fact that you're just opposing that with the video, kind of demonstrates how much of a recording it actually is, and not the actual thing that is just a representation of movement in a beach. Because there is a certain, obviously there is a disconnect, like you said, there's a disconnect between the image of you moving away and the constant level of the sound that you hear. So I found that disconnect to be interesting in terms of how do you, representation of actual spaces and what it means to represent, as opposed to having the actual thing.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point that you made, because in this type of praxis, but I guess in all of my practice, in all of my work, there's kind of a tangential pedagogical element to it. And hopefully there's a bit of humor also involved in it. And then I think my idea that I want this type of work to trigger, I've also had like a manual that has been recorded, but also kind of requires people for them to do their own kind of recordings. This kind of a trigger for the listener and viewer of the work to kind of imagine themselves recording. What is it, what is this process that seems to be so exotic about film recording, you know? So there's kind of an idea of a demonstration that conceptually is very strong in my work, because I want this to trigger this idea of what is this thing about field recording? Can I field record? Is field record something that I can do? And it has to do this idea of bringing people closer to sounds and listening and kind of experience sonic milieu, and I think this is what I really want to do with this type of work, you know? That doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the talk, it was very interesting. I'm just curious about the beginning, when you had that sound writing, or something with a specific name? Writing about the sounds you...
It wasn't me that invented the term, but phonographic writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that something that you usually do? And if so, what is your process of going about writing it? Because contrary to film recordings, maybe actual sounds, there's a lot more of a narrative element to it in the way it's structured.
Yeah.
So I'm curious whether how do you go about it? Do you sit in you choose a place to sit and then write? Do you record it and then rehear it and write? Yeah, so I'm just curious about that.
That's a good question.
Because you're engaging with the mechanisms of...
There's definitely planning involved in it. And I think the places that I usually choose to record, I inhabit those places. But the market is a place that I used to go there to buy groceries. So I just decided the spot is perfect. And I used to sit at that bench. So for me, the process of inhabiting a place is very important to me before I do anything with the place, before I really think to start to engage with the place. So inhabiting that place is very important. So there's definitely planning involved in it. And when you write, I mean, what I've tried to indicate in this presentations is that writing, you might not be a very good writer, and that's okay. And then you're trying to describe, sometimes you don't have the vocabulary to describe frequency, pitch, rhythm, that's okay. It's just, you're struggling with language, and that's part of the process, but you're listening to it. And there's also the process of editing, because editing is part of film recording, audio film recording too, so you can look at it, and you can remember your experience of that place. Okay, now I'm going to play with words, now I'm going to edit this recording. Because it's all fiction, even recording. That's what I was trying to point in my presentation. So the thing for me is process. So if there's mistakes with it, if your writing sucks, that's really kind of okay. For me, the interesting in this type of work, an artist then engage with process, basically, and is to really try to put people engage with sounds in a very kind of low-tech kind of approach, without even kind of a microphone, just in the pen and paper, and just let's talk about sound, really. That's what I was trying to hint at. And I think the presence of the author, and I'm assuming this kind of almost teacher-author role, I think is important, someone that could guide or could give hints or pointers or even give a human scale that I think is so important in this type of audio recordings, because you sometimes lose where's the human, where's the person in it, and by giving the human scale on that video, the person that's there, a recording, I also want to give people, this is made by human beings also, you know? This is also kind of a fiction, and I really want to kind of humanize, let's say, the discourse around the practice of the recording, if that makes sense.
Alexander was first, but just two more questions, then, and can you put your question later?
Okay. Mine is a quick follow-up to that, because I was also I found that beginning really impressive, and I basically understood it as a form of ethnographic field notes. And I was wondering, and in ethnography you have a very long tradition of thinking about the presence of the ethnographer and to what extent they should be part or not part of the story that they're telling. I was wondering whether that's something you've been explicitly
That's a great question, because I really like the work of Lila Abulugo. I don't know if you know her work. Well, she writes about, I know if there's an anthropologist in the house that maybe can explain her work a little, probably a lot better than I do, but she works with what she calls kind of ethnography of the particular. So she uses the writing to describe everyday situations, and one of her standpoints is that her presence is obvious. So the subject of the ethnographer or of the social sciences is something that is not an abstraction. So I take a lot of cues from her practice too. And she has a very kind of beautiful, evocative writing about the everyday, about the micro, let's say, which for her is an important way to kind of de-essentialize grand narratives in anthropology, is to bring it back to the everyday, into the situation. And I guess her writing really kind of evokes that. Does it make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Just one last question.
Yeah, well, I think literature is full of sonic descriptions, right?
Yeah.
Like, recording is what, 100 years old? So, before that, that's all we had, sonic descriptions. And I think it was Murray Schafer who would make his students catalog things that they would read in the. And when we were field recording, we're filtering. I mean, you can use a good microphone, a bad microphone.
Yeah.
It's your choice. You put it once, you can point it to the right, to the left.
Yeah.
So it's all a choice, and there's no difference if you're describing or recording it.
Absolutely.
It's your interpretation. So.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the point that I was trying to make. Absolutely, yeah.
Very good.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So now we're going to have another talk. We're actually keeping up with the fact this is a colloquium, and we're very colloquial. Our coffee break people got the hour long. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually not now, so they got the hour long, so it's at 4. But I would like then to welcome the judge, and if you can actually give us just 5 minutes, we'll go outside so that Charles can prepare his talk.